It's Essential Pittsburgh. I'm Paul Guggenheimer. The concentration of veterans in southwest Pennsylvania is among the highest concentration of veterans in the entire United States, some 200,000, with 97,000 alone living in Allegheny County. Upon returning from active duty, all veterans, injured or not, are in need of resources such as physical and mental health care, job training, and housing. Until recently, Pittsburgh area veterans did not have a centralized, dedicated place to find these resources. But now there is a company called Checkpoint, which is dedicated to helping veterans find the resources they need to help resume their lives. I'm joined now by the founder of Checkpoint, Iraq War veteran, Jared Sauter. Jared Sauter, welcome to Essential Pittsburgh.
Hey, thank you for having me.
Explain why you created Checkpoint.
Well, I had spent about 4 years prior to this year running another agency here in the Pittsburgh area called Veterans Place. And while I was there, you know, Veterans Place does a lot of great services for homeless veterans. And that was my first exposure to this world of veteran services and all these things. And I kept running into the same problems where there are a lot of different things going on. And even as a person who did this for a living, and I'm supposed to be a subject matter expert, and I still would run into walls. I would run into sort of confusing things and just see the complexity of it and really saw a need for some way to help vets navigate it and reduce complexity and just get better information into their hands so that they can just make more informed decisions about what they can connect with and what they could benefit from.
So what resources does Checkpoint offer?
We have about 22 different categories of services, anything from employment, financial assistance, emergency services, benefits to the stuff that, you know, maybe isn't always as much on people's minds, like volunteerism, opportunities to connect with other vets. I think the idea is we want this to be quick and easy, but we also want it to be comprehensive. You can find information about local events that are military related. We have a blog, a news feed. And really, we're trying to capture everything that's going on in the local military community, in the veteran community, and put it in a place where somebody can find it and quickly and easily search and find the stuff they're looking for.
Explain why volunteerism is an important part of this.
You know, I'll sort of speak to my own experiences. So I'm an Iraq vet, and I can pretty easily say that the work I did when I was in the Army, I was a logistics officer, was the most engaging work I've ever done. And I'll never probably have a job like that as long as I leave, even with Checkpoint. And, you know, you think about a generation of vets that, especially I'm talking maybe specifically even the younger vets right now, who are just leaving probably the most engaging work they'll ever do for the rest of their lives, most of them. And they come back to a community where, you know, certainly civilian jobs, hopefully they're able to find one and that's fulfilling. But I think it's a common thing I hear from a lot of vets, but they just never quite find that sense of belonging again. And to me, a lot of that is being engaged and finding a new purpose. And so to me, I think veteran volunteerism is something we're right on the cusp of really trying to do something new and grab a hold of veterans, not as a population with lots and lots of needs necessarily, and we certainly want to meet those, but as a population that we, I think, haven't done a great job of harnessing as the leaders and the people who really can be changing the community around us.
The Department of Veteran Affairs has been in the news a lot lately. What impact has this had on the work done by Checkpoint?
I think if anything, it really underscores the importance of what we're doing. My take on this has always been, even if you're as big as the VA is, and if you've got all the money you need to really hire and sort of put resources onto problems, nobody can do it alone. I mean, even in the best of scenarios, there is no such thing as a one pill cure for the different things that maybe veterans may need in the community. Even if the VA was functioning at its best, you still need community groups. But now, with a lot of the issues the VA has had, I really think it underscores the importance of local community groups that have some flexibility and really are delivering a lot of great resources to vets and military families here in the community, of really empowering them and their ability to connect with vets and really deliver some great things And again, a lot of them, a lot of times, just aren't on people's radar. People wouldn't know about it if not for something like Checkpoint that can kind of help them to navigate to a lot of that stuff.
Jared, when a veteran returns from the fight, generally, what is he or she most in need of?
Maybe that's a somewhat of a complex question, but in a lot of cases, it's really just making new connections and sort of as they're transitioning into a new life, finding that new purpose. So in most cases, that means a job to start out with. But I think there's always that desire to connect with other vets, to just find a new life. And, you know, that can mean a lot of things with benefits. It can mean a lot of things with a lot of, you know, maybe healthcare services or mental health services. And in a lot of cases, there are a lot of vets that struggle with things like that, with PTSD. But to me, the average veteran is really just looking to find a new life. And they're coming in into the area and starting families, and they want to be part of the community.
You served in Iraq.
I did.
How long were you there and when were you there?
I was there late 2005 into 2006. I was in a little bit north of Baghdad in a city called Baquba.
Pretty bad time to be there, wasn't it?
You know what? It was not a great place to be around that time when over sort of the course of that period of time, there were a lot of sort of changes in that region. The unit I was with had responsibility for a lot of the Diyala province and the city of Baquba, and it's always sort of a difficult thing when you're going into those situations, but it was a great unit and, really sort of, had a fortunate situation. And the unit, at least the smaller unit that I was in, did not have any losses, at least in my platoon and my company. And it was something that was not probably something you would think of as a great experience, but it's something that shaped me in a lot of ways and something I'll look back on and it'll stick.
So when you get back, I mean, is there a process that every veteran goes through? Does someone sit you down and kind of debrief you?
Yeah, I mean, there's a formal process. Again, maybe I'll sort of generically apologize to the audience because I'll a lot of times maybe use the word soldier, and maybe I'm trying to use that as generically as I can and not necessarily skipping over Marines and sailors and airmen. But so at least coming out of the Army side, when you're leaving theater, and this is sort of when you're just leaving Iraq or Afghanistan, you go through debriefings and things like that. And those are really specific to your transition back to normal active duty life where you're not in theater.
But are there things that are a part of that, that the officials, the people that are interviewing you, maybe medical professionals, maybe mental health professionals, are there things that they're looking for that might raise a red flag and tell that person that this particular veteran needs to be referred to X, Y, or Z?
Yeah, absolutely. And I think there's a lot of attention focused on that right now. And this is something that hasn't been necessarily done in previous generations, and we're getting better at looking for cues and looking for maybe signs that somebody might be struggling. But the culture of the military is very proud, and there are still, I think, a lot of guys and women too who may be having a little bit of issues, but the ethos says, I do what I do, I don't complain, and I just keep my head down and work my way through it.
Our guest, Iraq War veteran Jared Sauder, who has started a company called Checkpoint dedicated to helping veterans find the resources they need. Let's go to Donald on the South Side. Donald, welcome to Essential Pittsburgh.
Well, thank you for having me this afternoon. As a fellow veteran, I know how important it is to have some organization and to be able to find the resources that are out there. My specific question is, many veterans bring unique skills once they get separated from service. Many of those skills can transition into starting a small business. Are there resources out there for veterans who are interested in becoming entrepreneurs as opposed to employees?
Yeah, actually, and thanks, Don, for calling in. Actually, as a veteran entrepreneur, I tend to think vets make great entrepreneurs. Up in your neck of the woods, there is a Southwestern PA Veterans Chamber of Commerce, and actually, you'll find them profiled on the Checkpoint site. They provide a lot of resources and really trying to just help vets get started. I know the SBA does some things related to veteran entrepreneurism. And one of the other things you'll find on our site on Checkpoint at the bottom of the homepage is a link to search for veteran-owned businesses by zip code. And that's through the National Association of Veteran-Owned Businesses, or NAVOBA. And it's a location-based thing, and you can find local businesses. Even if you're not a veteran, you want to support veteran-owned businesses.
Are these things that veterans may not have had before?
Sometimes yes, sometimes no. But I think the common problem is the information just is it never gets to all the places where you might want it to be. I say that in Pittsburgh, we don't have a resource problem. We have an information problem.
Donald, hopefully that helps.
We did. I'm looking forward to researching some of this information and perhaps even starting my own business. And again, thank you for your service and putting this valuable resource together for us veterans out here in Pittsburgh.
Thank you, Donald. Yeah. Thank you.
Thanks, Don.
And Checkpoint is designed to simplify the process. How does it do that? Have we really explained how it makes it simple?
Yeah, so we have a couple different ways that someone could search for something. So when you go onto the site, we have it sort of broken down where you can search through resources and services, you can look for events, you can look for those things. There are different sections of the site. But then within look at resources and services, things are sorted either by county. You can search through that way. You can search by category, and there's about 22 different categories of things there. But then you can also just search by keywords. And the other thing that you'll find
Does the VA have stuff like this?
Yeah, no. I think what you'll find with the VA is the benefit of being an independent agency or independent organization like Checkpoint is I can list things that sometimes the politics in the VA prevent them from maybe sort of opening up their layers of things that maybe the VA might require an agency.
Such as?
As an example, maybe in order to be listed on some government websites, you have to have certain financial qualifications or you have to be a certain type of an organization. Whereas what you'll find is in a lot of instances, there are just some really great organizations doing great work that may not be, quote, all the way down the road to be 501c3s, or they may not necessarily be what you would traditionally think of as a veteran organization, but they're really doing some fantastic work. And I think the way I look at it is I want to make sure they're just as empowered as organizations with $20 million budgets.
So this is sort of outside the box ideas on resources that the government, that the VA might not have thought of.
You're absolutely right. And the other piece of it that to me I think is really important is ratings. Some people have sort of referred to Checkpoint as the Yelp for veteran services, but we have a rating system, and what we're doing is we're empowering veterans. You know, if you're a vet and you go out and use some services at an organization, give you a chance to come back in and review that. And I tell people the review is not for you as a veteran when you go in there and do it. You put in a review for the guy coming in behind you, for the next person in line, and they're trying to – you don't want them to just show up at a resource. You want them to show up at the right thing and to make sure they're getting to the best places. And so by giving veterans a chance to have direct feedback on the quality of services that are getting delivered, it helps other veterans to then find the best stuff as opposed to, you know, maybe some of us have had some bad experiences. You go someplace and maybe your situation doesn't necessarily get resolved. We want to help speed that process up and help vets to find the right things for their situation.
We have been talking with Iraq War veteran Jared Souder. He has founded a company called Checkpoint dedicated to helping veterans find the resources they need to help resume their lives. Jared, it's been a pleasure meeting with you and talking with you. Thank you so much for joining us on Essential Pittsburgh.
Hey, thanks, Paul.
Coming up, exploring the history of the Purple Heart and meet the servicemen returning lost medals to soldiers and their families.
It's pretty much for one man. It's overwhelming. But I believe in it, and we'll continue to move forward. And my goal is to return every single medal that we receive.
You're listening to Essential Pittsburgh on 90.5 WESA.